there's been some interesting thoughts from different people on this, and I think this is my own opinion on it, that we saw two of the worst, most uninformed, ignorant takes on the matter happen yesterday from two guys who have played pro sports. One is a Hook'em Horns. A Hook'em Horns, Jermichael Finley.
You're going to get the hook. That's about it. So no, maybe you should get the horns.
So he said, athletes are looked up to and serve as role models. Leave personal opinions about race and politics alone. Do what you get paid to do and play. And then went on to say, is it for selfish reasons, meaning the anthem protest, or is it for real? And he put marketing in mm-hmm. parentheses. Or is it for real that they care? And that right there is probably the most ignorant opinion I have heard on this, because to use the word marketing when the guy who started this is out of a job because of it, and in my opinion, mostly because of it, to say that people are doing that for attention and positive attention and marketing, you think Colin Kaepernick's got a whole bunch of people lining up to give him endorsement deals? He doesn't even have a job.
I was going to use a different word that starts with an I, idiotic comment. Marketing? Really? This guy can't even get a phone call, and you think he's worried about marketing? Just get on a team. You have others who stood with him or kneeled with him a season ago that lost some sponsorships. So it's amazing that this knucklehead who would go on and say that they're just trying to stay relevant. He pointed to Michael Bennett and Martellus Bennett, Michael's brother, and Jermichael Finley actually played AAU hoops together. And so they know each other. And for Jermichael Finley to say they're doing this to stay relevant, Martellus Bennett is relevant. Michael Bennett is relevant. Both of these are two of the best at their positions in the game today. You're the only one that's not relevant. You're the one that's been forced out of the game due to injury. But it sounds as though you're trying to stay relevant, Jermichael Finley, and you're going about it in a poor, bad, tasteless way. I mean, it is just... He has said some of the most crazy things. He put out some things about Charlie Strong a year ago, the former head coach there at the University of Texas, made you want to scratch your head, and now he backs that up with these comments yesterday. You shut the hell up. If you want to be a role model, go be a role model in the manner in which you see fit. If these guys want to go out and they want to protest inequalities that are occurring in our society, they have the right to go ahead and do that. Who are you to tell them to stick to sports? Really? Yeah, it's just the most asinine attitude and mindset from this young man. It's just amazing that he was saying. Then he tried to go back and delete certain tweets that he put out there. Oh, what happened to your conviction of when you hit send on the tweet initially?
Even though I disagree wholeheartedly with the take of I want my sports to be sports, I want the things to be separated, when it comes from a fan, it makes a hell of a lot more sense than when it comes from a former athlete. That's when it really confuses me. Now, I disagree with the fans who think that way, but there are people that say, man, I spent all day arguing politics or watching this on the news, and I turn on the game, and I don't want to see that. I disagree with that. You got to deal with it. I mean, people are going to do what people want to do, but when a fan says that, I'll be like, okay, maybe at some point you'll be able to get over that. I know it's your thing to get away from other things, and you don't like it. But a former athlete saying that about his peers, to tell them to not think or not stand up in what they believe in is really it's like a mini atrocity in my mind that he would try to silence his peers in standing up for what they believe in.
And as if they're not going to be affected once they take that helmet and that uniform off. Yes, they are going to be affected just like anyone else out in larger society. It has nothing to do with your sport, your employment. And he's ignorant of the fact that these guys are currently relevant. They're damn good at what they do. So how would you come up with that as an excuse? They're trying to remain relevant. No, yeah. They're not.
He also said, do what you get paid to do and play. They are. That's what they're
playing
that.
Damn well.
Right. These aren't practice squad guys that are hanging on by a thread.
Just I was at a loss trying to make sense, and I didn't trust me. Didn't try for long to try to make sense of these weak comments by him. That's why he went back and tried to delete tweets he had already made. Just stupid comments by JerMichael Finley.
Hook 'em horns.
No, no, he gets no hook 'em horns this morning. Get the hook. No.
So another guy, hook 'em horn, is Jeremy Roenick? No, I don't think
oh,
so.
Oh, hell no. No.
I used to have Jeremy Roenick's number, but he changed it, and we did try to reach out to him to talk about this. But this all started for Jeremy Roenick when he retweeted an article that was fake. Mm-hmm. So there was a fake article about a James Harrison quote. James Harrison, quote, "Anyone on my team sits for anthem, they better be in a wheelchair," end quote. He never said that. That was not his quote. It was fake news. I know we hear that term a lot, but this actually really was fake news.
From a year ago.
Yeah, it said Happy Gilmore posted this thing. So, and then Jeremy Roenick goes, "Well, this is a guy I want on my team."
Yeah.
And then he says, "Marshawn, you should have stayed retired." And then just starts taking on these guys with the take we've heard a million times about the respect and this and that. And really, we go back to the same point of that, yeah, to a lot of people, they want to stand for the national anthem. I always stand for the national anthem. I get annoyed when I see people talking during the national anthem at a baseball game or their hat is still on. That certainly gets under my skin because I feel that is, you know, ignoring it and not paying attention and taking things granted. I don't like that. But I truly do understand where athletes are coming from if they're part of their protest is to kneel or sit during the national anthem. And I try to understand what they're trying to say. And it's not just that. A lot of these guys have stepped up, especially Colin Kaepernick, since the initial kneel. What he's done since then, I try to understand him. And I don't think that that's something that is that hard to do.
And that disrespectful. You can take away the protest and you can detach that from reverence, showing reverence to the flag, because he's not protesting the flag. He's protesting the system in which we live under, in which that flag symbolizes. So I don't understand how it's so hard to detach the protest and what he's protesting from that symbol. I have reverence for the flag. Who hasn't stood up during the national anthem and gotten wispy? We live in a great country, but we also live in a country that's not beyond reproach. And it's not a perfect country. What's the line to have a more perfect union? Well, we're never going to be perfect, but we're still striving to be perfect. So we're not beyond reproach, and there are going to be things that we need to stand up and protest. And people will say, well, it's not the right time. It's not the right form. If I did this in my particular job, I'd be fired. Well, you maybe work at the wrong place. And if the people where you work, your employer, they don't see that there are ongoing changes that need to occur in our country, maybe those aren't the folks you should be associating with. So I can have reverence for that flag. I can have reverence for my country, but I can also hold my country to a higher standard. And I think that's what we're clamoring to do here in this situation.
The Ravens officially passed on Colin Kaepernick and signed Thaddeus Lewis, the great Thad Lewis, who hasn't done a damn thing. Mm-hmm. In the league.
But he's black.
In a very long
time. He's
black.
Well, so that gets the heat off on him, right?
It does help.
Right.
a little bit. Yeah, I heard Mike Francesa, the very famous talk show host next door here at WFAN, say yesterday on his show that Kaepernick isn't being blackballed. He's just not worth the headache. And that made me really angry. And if there was an opportunity he would actually listen to what I was saying. We were in the same place at the same time. I would love to talk to him about that. Because, you know, maybe the term, people get so wrapped up in the term blackball. To me, okay, throw away that term for a second and let's just call this what it is. He isn't being signed by teams that need quarterback help because of his anthem protest. You want to call that blackballing? You want to put any other word on it?
Yeah.
He is not being signed because of that. Mostly because of that. and I will bring this up again, and I was off for a week, so maybe I don't sound like a broken record. What is the hassle? Really? What is the hassle? You get cameras in during training camp. They ask your players a question. They ask Colin Kaepernick a question. Maybe he kneels, maybe he doesn't. And then it's over after that.
Let's go play ball.
And what do you think he's going to do?
Right.
I mean, do you think that he's going to be some sort of like, he's going to parachute from the sky, like on fire? Or, I mean, do you really think that he's going to shoot guns up into the air during the national anthem? What are you afraid of? He's taking a knee, for crying out loud. Do you really think it's that much of a distraction? Not worth the hassle. Which is what hassle?
Yeah.
What hassle? So you get some dude from whatever news organization. You know, you get, Tom Costello from NBC News who shows up there, gets a couple of quotes one day, Lester Holt tosses to him, and then the next day, they're talking about the White House again.
Yeah.
It's over.
That's it.
It's over. There is no hassle there.
It's run its course, and he's already announced, and this was prior to the preseason starting, that, hey, I'm done kneeling. I'm doing my part. I will still focus on this issue. I'm doing my part as far as putting my money where my mouth is, and I want to play football. And he played much better than a lot of these guys who are been signed or being signed recently. And so this is like a nard. They just want to deflect, man. That's all they want to do is deflect. So they don't believe in what he's fighting for. They don't believe it's occurring when we have evidence after evidence after evidence throughout the history of this great country that it's occurring. And yet this is a way to deflect.
Yeah. So every one of these, bringing this guy in, you know, he's not worth this. He's not worth that. If you're the Baltimore Ravens and you look at the injury that you have, you look at nobody knows what the hell is going on with Andrew Luck, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, and you rank all these guys, you take away the issue with Colin Kaepernick and how many people got upset about that. You can't tell me that Ryan Mallett and Dan Orlovsky and Thad Lewis and these guys, that Kaepernick isn't worth bringing in. And the fact that so many coaches, it's owners, what it is. Yeah. That all the owners mm-hmm. have gotten together on this and have been basically sharing a brain and will prevent their football team from getting slightly better. I mean, it could be the difference between your quarterback goes down, Kaepernick gives you a hell of a lot better chance to win than Thad Lewis does or Ryan Mallett does.
Right.
And then what if your team it's a difference between 8-8 and 9-7 in a wild card berth? So you're going to take that much of a stand. It's
they
not
are.
Worth it that much.
They are. It's worth it to them. Yes, they'd rather lose than give Colin Kaepernick a platform. That's essentially what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because they've tried every excuse under the sun. Oh, he's not that good. 16-4 on a team as far as touchdown and interception on a team devoid of talent. And they said, oh, he's not that good. He can't read defense. Oh, he uses his legs too much. I mean, they've come up with every freaking excuse to skirt around this issue instead of just saying it like it is, telling us the truth, keeping it real. Marshawn Lynch, they asked him about it. Michael Bennett, they asked him about it. So are those guys going to be jettisoned? No. So why is this guy? What's the difference?
In other NFL news, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers general manager, Jason Licht, he released Roberto Aguayo and then spoke about it and said that the mistake that he made was that he didn't bring in competition for Aguayo and they anointed him. And that's why he had so many struggles. And then he kept thinking about how he was 21 years old and he was affecting grown men in their paydays and supporting their family.
Just make a kick! Yes, and listen, you traded up for the young man, and I understand why you did it. You thought lightning would strike twice in the same or from the same institution. You had Sebastian Janikowski, who was there, had this long, lengthy career with the Raiders. He was a Lou Groza Award winner in college. I think two times he won the award. Aguayo, he won it one time, but he had... missed only 9 field goals out of 78. He'd never missed an extra point. that got two-time All-American there at Florida State as well. And so you thought you had the second coming of Janikowski. And so don't give me all this about 21-year-old or 20-year-old pressure and all that. The guy's used to pressure. He won a national title there at Florida State. He's made big kick after big kick. It didn't work out at the professional level. You took a shot, and it didn't work out. That's it. But I do like what he said as far as this won't deter him taking risks down the line. And it shouldn't. You shouldn't be fearful of that. You thought the guy was going to be better than he was. It didn't pan out. And, yes, moving up that high to take a kicker is something that you don't – see a lot of. You took a shot in the dark. It didn't work out. I wouldn't even say it's a shot in the dark. The guy had a proven track record there at the collegiate level, and you thought he could do it at the pro level.
And
didn't work.
To say that it was the lack of competition that hurt meant that he wasn't working hard enough because he knew he had the job. That didn't look – it looked to me that he was devastated when he couldn't make the kicks. He just stunk, and the moment seemed to get away from him, and he started choking. That's what it was. It wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to work hard because I don't have another kicker behind me. He's going to take my job.
Yes.
All right. There's a lot of NFL fire there for you.
You did just break your microphone. I think you're back.
Broke my microphone.
There you go. Calm down, dude. No violence.
Yeah.
All right. No violence at the workplace.
Shouldn't be that easy to break the microphone. Well,
around here. Look out.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Listen to Tiki and Tierney weekdays between 3 and 6 Eastern for your chance to win Guns N' Roses tickets right here on CBS Sports Radio.
We were told to move out of our newsroom today.
Oh, you have to be out today.
Yeah, today is the day we have to be out. So I grabbed my Andrew McCutchen and Edgardo Alfonso bobblehead dolls and stuck them in a plastic bag with my CBS 5-year plaque.
Well, let me see your plaque.
Oh, you want to see the
I
plaque?
I know you received a plaque.
I got the rice cooker, by the way, in the mail.
Cool.
For my 10-year
Have you
gift.
Used it?
No. I haven't.
I get a plaque? This is my 5th year. I'll get a plaque at the end of the year?
Oh, where's the plaque's not in here? My Geo and Jones mug is in there.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Plaque's somewhere in here.
Now, answer my question. So I'll get a plaque at the end of the year, right? Because this is my 5th year.
You should, yeah. I don't see why not.
I want my plaque. And I get a rice cooker? No, rice cooker's after 10 years, right?
Yeah, 10 years at the rice cooker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah. You can get a gift for 5 years.
Oh, I get a gift.
What the hell did I do with my
What'd you do with the plaque? How did you lose the plaque?
I got it. Hold on.
Oh, there goes the plaque. Oh, that's five. Nice. Yeah. 5 years. Oh, man. And I can't read. I forgot my glasses this morning. Gregory Giannotti.
That's right.
Gregory. 5 years. Thank you.
That was from 5 years ago.
Thank you for your commitment and dedication.
So that was
we
one.
Appreciate the talent you contribute to CBS Radio, and we are proud to celebrate this special time in your career with us. Your performance is important to our success.
Right. Everybody gets the same thing.
Wow. Oh, really? Everyone's important?
I
want mine to say something different, Dan Mason.
Well, he's not there anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's not there. It's not even going to be the same company by the end of the year.
Well,
you do realize
it's still 5 years of CBS Sports Radio. I want something different on my plaque. Like, thank you, my father.
Right.
You've been good to us. We've been good to you. Right. We'll see you down the line. Peace.
No one has done more by being here so little.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
I epitomize that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long to leave a legacy, folks. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. So that's mm-hmm. I got all my stuff, a little plastic bag, and we moved out.
Cool.
So
out.
The wipes, we got to find a place for the wipes.
I know. I got to find a place for my water bottle.
And then we're moving out of our newsroom. It's a sad day, really. And we're going to be in the most boring cubicle setup.
And there are no drawers or anything over there. What is up with that?
It's bare bones.
It's just messing with our convenience.
Yeah, it's like where the prisoners would go to study, like the good prisoners.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the ones that are doing everything they need to do to
make
parole.
What do they call those? Man, damn it, I should know this.
You should know this?
Yeah, I should know this.
Well, whatever it is, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, everybody come. You know, they come in the handcuffs and shackles, and they uncuff them, and they could sit there and they can read magazines.
Those are the good ones that don't need medium or maximum custody or anything like that. There's a title they call them. I'll find it. I got some people in the jail.
It's not General Pop?
No. It's another one. Trustee.
Oh,
the trustees.
The trustee.
That's what they call them. Yeah.
So
See?
You got to be black to know that. No.
Ever been to jail, Brad?
No.
No, you haven't been to jail.
No.
Want to go?
Well, maybe not. Now that I'm in my suite at the Four Seasons, down there, if you want to store any of your stuff in there, feel free. I got room.
Oh, thanks. Is it yours to offer, though? I mean, you're only here occasionally.
Well, it's mine today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday until I leave.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I can't promise that nothing will happen to your stuff when I leave, but while I'm here, it'll be in good shape.
I would put this in my mailbox, but the mailbox is... You know what? You have a locker, don't you? Maybe we'll,
there you go, the locker.
But I don't want to go back there.
Do we all
day.
Have a locker?
No.
No? Just certain people?
Yeah, certain people.
Why is that?
You can just request one. Anybody can get one. If you'd like a locker, Brian, you're more than welcome to
I need
ask.
A locker for my water bottle.
When you get your plaque, you're eligible for the locker.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Make 5 years to get the locker?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, in the mailbox, there's just dust in there.
Oh,
it's gross. Maybe we should clean out our mailboxes.
Why us?
They're gross.
I don't want to have to clean out my own mailbox.
If there's I got so mail, I wouldn't want to touch it.
Yeah, well, I guess just like the worst sports books possible. It's the only thing that shows up in that mailbox. The two things that show up in the mailbox are approved vacation sheets and the worst sports books of all time. Like, you know, the 10 greatest first baseman named Frank, written by a Chicago Sun-Times columnist.
Named Frank.
Frank Schwartz, whatever. I mean, everything. You pull out some of those books that we have over there, actually. Give me a stack, because there's a whole bunch in the newsroom that we get. They're so bad. I'll just read them off and tell me if there's one in there that you would actually sit down and read.
There has to be one.
No.
There has to be at least one.
I don't believe there will be.
At least.
No. They're awful, awful books. So here's Brad, and he's got a sports
update. Yeah, Brad, do something, man.
All right, guys.
We made you happy.
Yeah. Go ahead. Give
That's
us the
true.
Sports.
All right. Major League Baseball, Giancarlo Stanton's home run tear continues. He's got 22 in the last 34 games. Last night breaking Gary Sheffield's club record with his 43rd of the season. Marlins beat the Giants in Miami 8-3.
Something special. You know, when you're one homer, one hit away from a record, you know, you don't want to let it linger, because then every at-bat is, you're going to do it. So luckily I got it out the way right away and put us on top and, you know, able to finish.
And with those 43 home runs, Stanton leads the majors. Aaron Judge leads the American League. He hit number 36 last night, tied the game against the Mets in the sixth inning. Aaron Hicks and Gary Sanchez home runs in the eighth. Yankees beat the Mets in the Subway Series opener 4-2. The Yankees 4.5 behind the Red Sox in the American League East. Boston lost a makeup game to the Indians at home 7-3. Edwin Encarnacion hit two-run homers. Meanwhile, a great story in Denver. Chad Bettis back on a big league mound for the first time since undergoing treatment for testicular cancer.
And the pitch is hit into center field. Charlie Blackman coming over. Charlie's got a ways to go. He's going to get there, though, and make the catch. And Chad Bettis has thrown 7 shutout innings in his 2017 debut.
Got a standing ovation in Denver. Jerry Schemmel called it Rockies Radio Network. Rockies blank the Braves 3-0. The late games, Diamondbacks behind Zach Greinke shut out the Astros 2-0. Padres beat the Phillies 7-4. Royals held off the A's 6-2. And the Orioles all over the Mariners 11-3. According to the toxicology report, Tiger Woods had 5 drugs in his system when he was arrested in May, found asleep at the wheel, including Vicodin and THC. The NBA releasing its schedule. The season starts earlier, October 17th. Some notable games. Paul George going back to Indianapolis with the Thunder, December 13th. Chris Paul and the Rockets will take on his former team in L.A. January 15th. Jimmy Butler with the Timberwolves heads back to Chicago in February. And Gordon Hayward's first game in Utah with the Celtics will be in March. College basketball, the nation's number one recruit last night, Marvin Bagley III, committed to Duke. He's hoping to reclassify to the class of 2017 so we can play this season, guys.
All right, Brad, you got a couple minutes here, I think. So I'll see if you're interested in any of these books, because we're cleaning out. We have to move out of our newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we're cleaning out everything out of there. And a lot of talk show hosts, they get sent these books that I do this. I'm guilty of it. I take it out of the package. I just throw it on a desk somewhere because none of them interest me. All right, here we go. See if you're interested in any of this stuff. This is Your Brain on Sports. The science of underdogs, the value of rivalry, and what we can learn from the T-shirt cannon. Anybody? Anybody brain on sports?
That was the title?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yep. That's too much. No.
Yeah, right, that's enough to confuse me. I'm out.
That one's out. All right. This is the great Shirley Babishoff. Making waves. My journey to winning Olympic gold and defeating the East German doping program.
Oh, damn. No. That'll make you smoke some dope.
Right of first refusal. Yeah.
You want this one, Brad?
No,
you
thank
can have
you.
It.
No, that's...
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So over East German.
We have the Jason Garrett biography, Gutless.
Oh, come on.
No, it's called Gutless by Carl Duker. And it's about a soccer player turned football player. It's fiction. Gutless. The touchdown catch made school better for me. Hunter and the other juniors and seniors nodded to me in the hallway, pointed a finger. I was somebody. Gutless, anybody?
Woo!
I mean, there are no words.
Yeah.
All right, three down. So if you're just joining us, we're moving out of our newsroom and we're going through the crappy books that people send us and want us to talk about on the air. They're finally getting their opportunity.
Yes.
John Feinstein.
Uh-oh.
John Feinstein.
Whoa.
Foul trouble.
Huh.
Want to play college basketball? Better learn to play the game.
I like me some John Feinstein, but... No, I don't want to play college basketball, and I know how to play the game.
That's my favorite sport. I'll call it a maybe.
Yeah, okay. Got this, a maybe.
This is personalized.
To whom? Anybody who picks up the book?
No, Max Herman.
Oh, then forget it.
It says, to Max, you have to love a book that begins in New Jersey.
So wait a minute. So Max moved to Canada and left the book here. I guess what is that?
Mac is the one that had the...
Max with an X.
Oh, it's Max.
Yeah.
With the grill... Issue? Yeah.
All right. Anybody for John Feinstein?
I'll take it.
You want the Feinstein book?
Yeah, I want it.
Oh, wow.
Personalized to Max. That's a big deal.
All right. You can come in here and take it here.
Max left the country and didn't take the book. I don't know what that
says. A lot.
Says.
Oh, dang. Ow.
All right. We got a couple more here.
Come on.
There's one I actually kind of think's interesting. I'm keeping it off to the side.
All right.
Fanaticus. Fanaticus.
Like Spartacus?
Fanaticus.
That's mischief, about fans?
Mischief and madness in the modern sports fan. Brad, this is yours if you want a Fanaticus for the Helicus.
The cover alone is enough to say no thanks.
Justine Gouba. Nah, that's spooky looking.
Yeah, no. Just the cover alone is enough. No thanks.
All right.
That boy ain't right on the cover.
We have three more. No one's been interested in any of the books.
Yeah, Feinstein got a maybe.
Well, no, Mikey B. took it because it was signed by John. The Birdwatcher, a novel by William Shaw. A highly intuitive detective and avid birdwatcher, William South is a trusted and respected figure in his small town on the rugged Kentish coast of England. He also lives with a deeply buried secret. When he was just a child, he might have killed a man.
Wow, as a kid. Huh.
Anybody?
Sounds about as interesting as actually watching birds.
Child killer, anybody?
No, that's all right. We got no killing going on.
Why
did
we get this one?
Where's
the sports angle in that one?
I don't know.
Should we get the author on?
young John Feinstein might have killed him. What? I'm kidding. All right, here we go. Hound of the Sea. Wild Man, Wild Waves, Wild Wisdom. Garrett McNamara.
Yeah, and I'm not wild about that title.
I would only listen to it as a book on tape if you read it that exact way. You just teased it. Wild.
Hound of the Sea. Surfing, anybody?
No.
All right, that's another crap one. All right, this is the one I actually think... I don't think I'd end up doing it. But Boy on Ice, The Life and Death of Derek Bougard, who was an NHL player... This one won a Pulitzer Prize. And this is about, you know, this guy's life and his
untimely
death. And I think it's sort of, I remember how sad this story was. It was somewhat interesting. His injuries and concussions were mounting. His mental state was deteriorating, culminating in his early death from an overdose of alcohol and painkillers. Sounds like fun.
No.
Pulitzer Prize, Heller, Bugard?
I mean, the fact that it's a Pulitzer, I think you have to consider it.
All right, Boy on Ice.
Did that end up here by accident based on the other titles you just read off? Because this sounds like a book worth reading.
There you go.
Okay.
Right, there you go.
Oh,
Heller.
For me? Wow.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of no's, but we did get two yeses. We've given away some books here. So, oh.
When where do the rest of them go?
I don't know. I really don't. Oh, man. Anything else in that newsroom other than lost dreams?
No.
Okay.
Those are gone already.
That's why they're lost. Pete. I mean, come on. Pete with this classic Bilotti humor here. Mm. All right, well, why don't you come and take these books you can't throw a book out. You can't burn a book, right?
No.
So you gotta just put them somewhere else. Give them to Zach, the really annoying production guy. Say, Zach, I was thinking of you.
To do.
I was thinking of you, Zach. And everybody's got that annoying guy in work. We have you beat with Zach. Here you go. See, hand that over to Zach and say,
"All right,
take this crap." We've been taking yours for a long time. That's your line. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. No, thank you, really.
Wow.
There is so much crap in
that. That's your homeboy.
What, Mikey B?
Yep.
Did you give him to Zach? What are you doing?
Oh, I knew you'd be talking about me, so I had to come in real quick.
No, he said, "That's your homeboy." And I said, "Who, Mikey B?" That was it.
That's it.
On to Zach.
He's so paranoid.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
Golly.
I wonder why he's so paranoid. You need some Dilaudid.
Yeah, he's a guy I would encourage to get a drug problem.
Yes.
THC.
Then that would be fun to watch. If he was hopped up on something... It's got to be better than this.
Yeah. It's so true. Did you hear yourself in that drop of Brad doesn't have his headphones on, the THC drop?
THC.
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 All right.
I'm going to get me some.
Some THC.
THC.
Buckwheat is dead off of THC.
THC.
Oh, man. Those Eddie Murphy Saturday Night Live.
Oh!
Buckwheat sings.
Oh!
I think funny.
Why? Three times a made it.
I think it was three times a made it.
Whatever the hell it was funny.
Right.
Uh-oh. Drug hit is back.
Okay. He was thankful for the books.
Oh, was
he? He's going to donate them.
Oh,
cool. Good for him.
Didn't ask.
I'm going to donate the books. No one's going to read that stuff. And Feinstein for you and Bugard for him. So we got those. All right. I just want to make sure everybody got their books. All right. We're coming right back.
This is Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Great affiliates across the country is how disgusting our subway system is here. And... There's actually been some, even though there's a lot of bureaucracy currently, but there is been some movement. Some people have been trying to clean up the subway to make things better, make things faster. The MTA, which is the body that controls the subway system, has been a complete and utter mess for many people for a long time. So now the mayor of New York and the governor, they're trying to clean this thing up. But anytime a subway story comes up, I feel like I just have to tell people, just in case they visit New York City at any point, you know what to expect.
Heads up.
Yeah, heads up, like the person who got urinated on.
Yeah.
There was that one right on their face. So there was that. And then more recently, we had a couple of skivators who were having sexual relations.
Yeah, they were having a few relations.
Yeah, they were dressed in Yankees garb.
It was a good game. Good day at the park.
Yeah, they came from the Yankee game.
Yeah.
And then on the subway, you had that. So the latest is a story where cops are accused of storing dead bodies in the MTA employee break room. And only as the New York Post can do, the first line is, "Stand clear of the dead bodies," because they say, "Stand clear of the closing doors, please." Mm-hmm. Leaking corpses of people killed by subway trains are often brought to employee lunchrooms and other break areas inside stations, disgusted union officials and sources said on Monday. In an effort to restore service quickly, bodies are simply carted off to whatever room happens to be nearest. A union source told the Post, if it's a lunchroom, they'll put it in the lunchroom. Now,
then they just stash them there briefly until they can properly dispose of them, right?
Still, though.
I know. Still, it's gross.
Now,
why can't you just bring a body bag? And I'm not trying to be too insensitive here, but bring a bag and just one fell swoop, carry them out. Why do you need to store it someplace momentarily? Especially break rooms.
Yeah. Well, I do give them credit for moving it. You always say move the drill, right? They have to get it out so the trains can run. So I give them credit for that. But to store it in a break room, as LaShawn Jones said, it could be related, LaShawn Jones, it's been a station agent for 18 years, said she was coming into work at 103rd Street, the one train, about 5 years ago. She made a quick stop to go into the employee bathroom when she saw some NYPD emergency services people handling a body inside the break room. They weren't aware I was coming in, and I wasn't aware they were there. All I remember was seeing a black bag and purplish stuff. That could totally mess with your psyche, not just for that day, but for the future. I couldn't go home. I was hysterical. I was crying. By the time the supervisor got there, I calmed myself down.
Hysterical and crying. Did she actually see the body?
Purplish stuff, she said, so it could be.
Purple's not her favorite color.
I'm starting to throw up in my mouth now.
I saw some purplish stuff.
You know what's crazy, too, is like as disgusting as the city is now, like it's probably the cleanest it's been in years.
When I first came, it was much worse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. Terrible.
I'm soft now, man. I'm soft.
Yeah?
Can't deal with any of this stuff. Back in the day, dead body on the subway, no big deal. Now it's turning me off.
Nothing at all. We were discussing Times Square back in the day because Matt Rhule, the new coach of Baylor.
A lot of hookers in there.
Yeah, it used to be 42nd Street. Yeah, I heard. And Matt Rhule grew up in the area, and his father was a pastor, and he would tell stories about having to walk over or cross over dead bodies down in Times Square.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wow.
You know, after the ball drop, just walk over, step over the dead body, and go on about your business. Yeah.
So, well, he
won't be having a good year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
So, totally different place
than
where it was.
It's a new HBO show. I just saw the preview for. It's got James Franco in it, Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's about, like, 1970s New York and that whole scene.
Mm. Studio 54?
No, more of the underground.
Oh, okay.
Scene.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems somewhat interesting. I'm not going to ask you if you've seen any of Ballers this year because you don't see anything.
No, I haven't seen it. Man, stop. I haven't seen anything, and I won't see anything for a while. What?
These shows are so easy.
I did Ballers. You could football shows yesterday. I'm flying to Austin this afternoon.
All right, this week maybe not, but maybe next week.
Next week I have three more football shows.
On one day.
Then I have a football show Saturday.
You're telling me that you can't carve out 27 minutes out of the day to watch this show?
No, I cannot. Not this time of year. Swamped.
I try to share these moments with you. I try to find common ground.
I know you're trying, honey bunny.
But you can't do it.
I appreciate it.
We can't find common ground. I'm trying.
Well, story of my life.
I've even tried to get as tan as possible this year.
No, that worked. You looking good.
Stop now. Has anybody else been watching Ballers? Anybody watching this?
Yeah, I'm up to date minus the last episode.
Oh, she didn't see the very last one on Sunday.
Which I'll watch today.
All right, good. Good for you.
See, you talk to him about it.
I don't want to. This year, right? You said this year. Any of this year.
Of this seasons, yeah.
Okay.
Until I finish the last four episodes.
I think Pete thought you said something else there.
What?
You never know now.
This year. What do you think?
It was close. I didn't know.
Could have went both ways.
No.
All three of us had head tilts.
Yeah, right. And Pete's like,
this year?
He's like a cat. Like that.
What'd you think it was?
That was an automatic. That was actually pretty, boom.
It was he's like a little bald leopard in there.
There's no
need for replay.
No
right to it.
Cuss word close to this
It was close. It did sound like something.
You guys are hearing things. Anyway.
You watch Last Chance U? Do you see that one? Do you have Netflix?
I have Netflix. I have not seen that. I just finished Glow.
I didn't see that one.
I liked Glow.
That was the music industry deal, right?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Women wrestlers.
Oh.
No.
Women wrestlers.
Oh, that's right up Pete's alley.
It's how's our boy Ric Flair doing?
He's doing better.
He's doing better?
It's the only two things Pete likes.
Yeah.
Wrestling and women.
That's it. Good. Ric Flair is doing better, and we have to give an update, because we discussed this last week when you were out. Taylor Swift won her lawsuit, or the countersuit. Dude has to pay her a dollar. He was clearly grabbing her ass.
Well,
clearly.
Yeah.
He was. Lying scum. What a dirtbag.
Yeah, I didn't follow it that much, but she only sued for a dollar, right?
Right.
She did that out of principle.
He's suing her for millions.
$3 million. That got tossed out, and she won the countersuit.
Right. Give me my dollar. Taylor Swift. Tell you what to do with it.
I heard one guy on the radio tease it like, Taylor Swift shook off his hand, like, you know, because shake it off, you know, was able to shake off the hand of a DJ. And I'm like, you can't do that when you're talking about a sexual ass grab.
Yeah.
Like, it goes to court. You can't just do that.
And she shook it off. You can store dead bodies in the break room, subway system, but that, no.
So yesterday when I was talking about Last Chance U, I was talking about this guy Cam Carter, who up until that point was someone that I felt was misunderstood. And then as the show went on, he got even worse. They ended up pushing his condition coach, and I mean his position coach, not his condition coach, position coach. And he got bad. And I was like, man, now I'm not rooting for this guy anymore. And then turns out at the end of the show, I get an update. He goes to Pitt. I had no idea.
Is this the former Penn State player?
Yeah, he ended up going to Pitt.
Wow.
Yeah, and a couple other guys didn't get as lucky. And then Florida Atlantic picked up the DeAndre...
Johnson, isn't it?
Johnson, yeah.
He was at Florida State, and now he's with Lane Kiffin.
Right, right.
So I think that was before he had signed with them and committed to them prior to Lane taking the job.
Yeah, so Last Chance U, I highly recommend
it. Next year.
And if anybody, because we don't get a lot of tweets around here, so I'll see them. So if you have watched this show and you want to talk about it with me, go ahead. Gio and Jones on Twitter or GOCDS.
Please talk to him about this.
I need somebody to talk to about the show. Talk to you tomorrow, CBS Sports Radio.